When the United States declared independence from Great Britain in 1776, it did not immediately become the strong federal republic that Americans know today. The new nation was born in war, uncertainty, and argument. Its leaders knew what they were fighting against more clearly than what they were building. They rejected monarchy, aristocracy, taxation without representation, standing armies controlled by distant rulers, and the idea that political authority could be imposed from across the ocean. Yet rejecting British rule was only the beginning. Once independence was declared, the former colonies had to answer a much harder question. How could 13 separate states, each with its own government, traditions, economy, ambitions, and fears, join together without surrendering the liberty they had just fought to defend? The first national answer to that question was the Articles of Confederation, the original framework of government for the United States. Today, the Articles are often remembered mainly as a failure, a weak system replaced by the Constitution after only a few years of real operation. That judgment is not entirely wrong, but it is incomplete. The Articles were not simply a mistake made by inexperienced politicians. They were the product of a particular historical moment, shaped by revolutionary ideals, wartime danger, distrust of centralized power, and the practical difficulty of uniting 13 independent-minded states. To understand the Articles, it is necessary to enter the world of the American Revolution, when Americans feared tyranny more than disorder and valued local self-government more than national efficiency. The Americans who drafted the Articles had lived under the authority of the British Crown and Parliament. They believed that distant power had abused them through taxes, trade regulations, military occupation, and interference in colonial government. Many colonists had come to see concentrated authority as dangerous by its very nature. In their eyes, liberty was safest when power remained close to the people. A town meeting, a colonial assembly, or a state legislature seemed more trustworthy than a remote imperial government. This attitude did not disappear when independence was declared. In fact, the revolution strengthened it. Americans did not fight a long and costly war merely to replace one powerful central authority with another. They wanted union, but they wanted a union that would not become oppressive. This explains why the Articles of Confederation created what was deliberately a very limited national government. The word confederation is important. It did not mean a single, unified nation in the modern sense. It meant a league or alliance of states. Under the Articles, the states kept most of the real power. The national government could conduct diplomacy, make treaties, manage relations with native nations, declare war, borrow money, and request funds from the states. But it could not directly tax individuals, regulate trade between the states, enforce its laws effectively, or compel states to obey national decisions. Congress existed, but there was no president, no independent executive branch, and no national court system comparable to the federal judiciary created later under the Constitution. At first, this arrangement seemed logical to many revolutionaries. The states were the political communities people knew best. A person in Virginia, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, or South Carolina was more likely to think of his state as his primary political home than to imagine himself first as an American citizen in a powerful national republic. The United States was still a new idea, more fragile than later generations sometimes realize. The 13 states had different religious cultures, economic systems, social structures, and regional interests. New England towns, southern plantations, middle colony commercial cities, frontier settlements, and coastal trading communities did not always see their interests in the same way. A loose union seemed like the only arrangement that could hold them together without provoking resistance. The Articles were drafted by the Second Continental Congress, the same revolutionary body that guided the colonies through independence and war. The drafting process began in 1776, but agreement was slow.